Dobrý deň, vítame vás pri počúvaní najnovšieho podcastu Ligy za ľudské práva Migračný kompas. Táto séria je zameraná na tému migrácie, integrácie a azylu a jej cieľom je zlepšiť informovanosť verejnosti a lídrov, ktorí nastavujú politiky v tejto oblasti. Séria má 24 častí, ktoré vás prevedú rôznymi témami od základných pojmov až po expertné analýzy prostredníctvom zaujímavých rozhovorov s odborníkmi v tejto oblasti. Hello, I would like to welcome you to listen our next series in the Migration Compass podcast. And this one will be in English because we have a very dear guest in our studio. Her name is Paola and she's actually a migrant in Slovakia. So she will talk about her experience. Hello, Paola.
Hello. Hi, Ziska.
So I'm really glad that you are here in our studio and that we are recording this in English because we would like to have the series also for our audience who doesn't speak Slovak. So we are extremely happy to host you here. Paola, tell us something about you. How do you happen to be in Slovakia? Where are you from? How did you come here?
Okay, three questions.
Sorry.
Well, the first thing I want to say is that I'm so sorry I don't speak Slovak at this point. I feel really ashamed. That should have been one of my priorities. I am originally from a little country called El Salvador, which is in Latin America and is next to Guatemala and Honduras. And if you still don't know where that is, it's South Mexico. And yeah,
great.
So I'm almost Mexican, but not quite.
So if the audience doesn't know where this is after your explanation, they can have an idea. And if not, guys, please Google it.
Google map. Yes. So how did I end up here? Well, I didn't really choose. This was a family decision. We came here for work. But right now, I think, well, overall, I think this was one of the best experiences I have had in my life. Really?
Really?
Yeah. I really like this city. Bratislava is what I call home now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I can talk about it all day if you want me to.
That would be amazing. How long do you live here in Bratislava?
Well, I arrived in... what was it? August 2017, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a year and a half, almost 2 years, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm not good in math, but it's been a long time.
And how is your life in Bratislava? What do you do? How do you go around?
Well, my life in Bratislava is full of new and fun and rich experiences, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I work as a cultural mediator at HRL, the mm-hmm. Human Rights League. And so I meet, even though this is considered like a small, you know, city, whatever, I've met people from so many different countries and nice people, Slovaks that I come across, they're really kind to me and they're really respectful and I really learn so much every day.
Mm-hmm. So do you meet Slovaks when you are staying here? Do you have Slovak friends?
I do have Slovak friends.
How do you communicate with them?
Well, thankfully, maybe not. I mean, thankfully, most of my Slovak friends, you guys are really skillful in terms of languages.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody I know speak English better than I speak Slovak. So even if I try to switch for obvious reason, we speak mostly in English. And some of them, many of them actually speak Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Which is your mother tongue, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So... if I made mistakes in English, please be patient. But the majority of people that I talk to, they speak English and they're really skillful. I can't emphasize that more because it is crazy. I mean, if you go to El Salvador, not many people are going to speak English as much as people speak English here.
Really?
Yeah. So it's nice and bad because I haven't really been in a situation that I need to speak Slovak. Mm-hmm. So it make me a little lazy.
But you have tried to learn Slovak, right?
I try. I went to classes. The instructor was amazing, but I just don't know. I need to be in a really in a situation of need, and thankfully that hadn't happened yet. But I try.
What do you think about our language? I assume it's not that easy.
It's not easy, but I have I really like how melodic this language is. Mm-hmm. It sounds like a song to me.
Really?
Yeah, and I can understand. Sometimes, even though the context I understand, and I'm really surprised that I understand a lot, mm-hmm. I think. And it is a really difficult language to learn because of the cases.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem, and for everybody who's listening, Slovak, when you try to speak in Slovak, they really appreciate because it's a nice gesture, at least to try. So don't be scared of like making mistakes. They're really kind here,
and
that's why they're going to switch to English. But at least try and be nice to people because people don't have an obligation to speak your language. Otherwise, go to any other country in the world, and then you won't. You're really lucky to be in this city.
Perfect. Thank you for this recommendation. We hope that many people would try to learn Slovak.
Yeah, exactly. Don't get mad because people can understand you. You should, if you're here, you need to try a little. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Paola. You have been living in many cities in your life, right? Is it true?
Yeah.
Which cities were those?
Well, in different countries, I lived in, obviously, I live in San Salvador, which is the capital of El Salvador. Mm-hmm. And then I moved to the U.S. Like 7-8 years ago. And I lived in this area. They call it the DMV, which is D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area. I live mm-hmm. in Virginia. I live in almost live in D.C. and I live in Maryland. And then when I was there, I had the opportunity to go and live in Bogota for 7 months,
mm-hmm.
which was interesting. And now I'm here.
Amazing.
Yes. Yeah.
So you had a multiple migration experience, right?
Yes. Internally in El Salvador, I moved from, you know, I was born in San Salvador, but my family is originally from San Miguel, which is a little small town,
mm-hmm.
And it's closer to Honduras. And from there, I moved. Oh, man, I've been moving so many times. So my mom moved to the U.S. when I was 11 years old,
mm-hmm.
right? And that this is the situation for many families in El Salvador because we depend our GDP, we depend a lot on remittances, mm-hmm. and you know, economically, we're heavily mm-hmm. we rely a lot on money coming from the U.S. So my mom moved to the U.S. when I was 11. So I have to move because she was leaving, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I went to this boarding school,
mm-hmm.
and I studied there for two years.
You were there alone?
I was there by myself, but I was so happy because I made so many friends, and I was a teenager, so it was an amazing experience, but mm-hmm. I was far away from my family.
Mm-hmm.
That was in another city called La Libertad. And then I have to come back mm-hmm. to San Miguel to finish, you know, my high school, and then I went to the capital because the best, so-called the best universities are there.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to go and migrate again and live mm-hmm. in the capital.
For how many years have you been separated from your mother?
Well, it was interesting because my mom left again, as I mentioned, when I was 11 years old. And then I was able to, you know, visit her once per year or something like that. But then I lost my visa, mm-hmm. my American visa.
Why?
I don't know. Something happened and I lost my passport or something like that. So I was not able to see my mom for the following years. And so the time that I was finally reunited with her was when I was like 21, 20, 22.
Mm-hmm.
So almost 10 years without living with my mom.
Wow, this is really long.
It was long and it was challenging for mm-hmm. both of us because I think this separation didn't, people change. Mm-hmm. I became an adult mm-hmm. and she was still looking at me as I was 11, 12 years old. And it was hard to adjust from a family standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So basically, migration is part of your life since you have been really quite small.
Yes.
Basically beginning the teenage yeah. years of your life.
Yeah. That's why this topic is very important for me because, we have experienced this within my family.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe half of my family is in the U.S. And mm-hmm. then I see it everywhere from mm-hmm. where I come from. And then when I end up being in the United States, I was shocked, but at the same time, I was really happy
mm-hmm.
to see people from all over the world understanding each other and trying being in the same community and to me it was nice to be in a place that could be called a melting pot, you mm-hmm. know, like if you want food from the Middle East, you can go to the corner and you know those things. I never had the experience mm-hmm. in my country, but then when I was in the US, I had that opportunity, and then also seeing people to really succeed,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a migrant and everything that you can. It's not like coming to a place and getting advantage of the situation, but it's give and take, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I saw people like working like crazy amount of hours, and yeah, it's nice to see what they can bring to mm-hmm. the table. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's why this topic is really dear.
Great. And how long have you been living in US?
So I arrived to the US on Halloween 2010.
I still remember. So scary costumes all around.
Yeah. Actually, yes. I arrived on Halloween. I remember going there and I don't know if I can say this.
Don't worry.
No, it's okay. It was like 10 years ago. I don't think I can get in trouble with the police anymore. But so when I arrived, one of my best friends is also my cousin.
Mm-hmm.
So she told me, okay, we're going to a party tonight. We're going to a Halloween party. I'm going to be, I don't know. Oh, she was a French girl and I was Cleopatra.
Wow.
And yeah, that's why I remember this day. Because we went to the Halloween party. I just dropped all my bags and, you know, I start getting ready. And then she had a boyfriend, which is now her husband. So she gave me the keys of her car. And so I have to drop her to his boyfriend and then going back home, you know, from the party to her house. It was an adventure. And so I remember it was Halloween 2010. So it's been a while, almost 10
wow.
years. Yeah. I'm sorry, everybody, the police. I might have been drunk, but it was amazing.
I guess it's really okay. You didn't commit anything.
No, so. Thank God. Yeah.
And if you think back about these first months or years in US, what would you say about it? What was helpful to you to adjust to the place, or what did you have a friends or family there? Your mother certainly probably helped you. How was it?
Okay, it was difficult, definitely. You have a sense of, you know, lost mm-hmm. when you arrive to another country and you leave your family and your friends. And, you know, if you have a boyfriend or if you have somebody you love, I can't imagine like being a mother and leaving your country or you're leaving your family mm-hmm. behind and your kids. And then that sense of loss, it's so, so deep that you might get into, you know, you might get a little depression when you arrive to a new country. You don't know what to do. In my case, what was really helpful was, first of all, I have the support of my mother. You know, sometimes people don't have that luck. Mm-hmm. So I have that and I have my family. But the other thing that was really helpful was technology. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was able to keep in touch with so many good friends and that I still in touch with, you know, and that sense of loss is not, you can mitigate that loss by, you know, keeping in touch with people that you really care about. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is to have goals, right? When you arrive to the country that you know is going to be your home, you need to know why you're there, you know. If your goal is to, you know, education or job opportunities or money, or you know, you want to have your business, focus on your goal and everything else will fall into place. Mm-hmm. And think that is temporary, because it is temporary. Mm-hmm. It won't last forever, that sense, I promise you. Yeah.
When did you start to call US home? Do you call it home, or did you call it home at one part of your life? How do you feel about it? Where's your home?
You're very philosophical. it's hard because at this point, I call Bratislava home, mm-hmm. you know? The US definitely became home after a year and a half or 2 years after I arrived.
Do you remember when did you start to feel that I'm at home here in the US?
When I started driving.
Really? Yeah. Why?
because, well, you have the best questions. Because I felt that freedom, you know. Uh-huh. When I started driving, I was able to feel that I have a say, you know, I could mm-hmm. go anywhere I wanted. Mm-hmm. And then you start working mm-hmm. and then you're independent. I think independence in a new place is the breaking point when you say, okay, this is home now, because this is myself, this is me, and mm-hmm. and this is how I express myself by, you know, coming here and talking to you or going to a museum or being... having that agency on your time management, mm-hmm. like whatever you want to do, you know, you're taking care of your goals. That's when you call a place home, mm-hmm. I believe.
I see. Yeah. And Bratislava, when did you start to have the feeling that this is your home now?
When I was in El Salvador.
No way, really?
Yeah. When I was, last year in December, uh-huh. I was able to... go back, thankfully. I was able to go back to the U.S. and then I was able to go to El Salvador to see my grandmother. Mm-hmm. So in these two places, I was like, oh, I wish I could eat this thing that I always eat in Bratislava, right? And then, oh, I already, you know, something that I'm going, if I'm going back to the U.S. ever, one of the things that I'm going to miss the most is the fact that I can walk anywhere here. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So when you go back to these countries or these places that were home before.
Yes.
And then you feel that sense of, okay, you know, I really love this place and blah, blah. But I'm still thinking of my home.
Uh-huh.
That's where you make that transition. The U.S. will always be home because I feel that I'm not different, you know. I feel when I go there, I'd like to be surrounded by people that are different, mm-hmm. and yeah, that will always be home.
Wow,
like primary in mm-hmm. Bratislava.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
I think Bratislava is really lucky to having you here.
And I'm lucky too.
And well, when we are talking about the home, I am just wondering, like, when you became US citizen, was it important also for you to become the citizen of United States? Or how did you emotionally get along becoming citizen of another country?
Yeah. Well, that was in 2016. Uh-huh. So it's been, it's not recent, but it's not like I've been a US citizen for a long time. Mm. And I remember exactly the feeling I got. So when you go to the ceremony, you see, you know, a video and you see the president thanking you.
Yes.
or welcoming you as a part of, you know, a nation. And I felt touch. Mm-hmm. You know, I came to the ceremony not thinking about, you know, I have a goal for going there, which was, I don't remember what it was, maybe voting or maybe getting some papers that I needed and I needed to be a citizen, whatever. But when I was there, I went through all the process of what, like, the from point A to where I was seated there waiting to become a citizen. And, you know, knowing that there's so many people whose dream is to be in a place that you can be yourself, that you have other opportunities and being welcome to a place like that, it was very touching for me. So I didn't expect to be a really emotional, but at the end it was really emotional because it was not just my life, right? But it was also like my brother, my mother, my family who's been in this process with me. Mm-hmm. And at that point I was working as a youth counselor for refugee teenagers. So I had them in mind when I was in this ceremony. I was like, one day they can be part of this and they will do so many good things. Just by having that, you know, being part of the U.S. as a citizen. Yeah.
Actually, I really know what you mean because once I was at the guest visit to United States, we have been touring many states around and they invited us for the citizenship ceremony. I think it was Phoenix, Arizona, probably. And I saw, and it was really emotional. I saw crying, actually, when they were singing the anthem and when they received the certificates. Yeah. It was something that actually never happens here in Slovakia. Here, the ceremony is really that they give you a paper at the office and you are there only with one person or two persons. They shake your hand, congratulate you, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in the case of the US, something that really touches me too was that, that was in the video, is that that country is, even if you're not a migrant, your grandfather was a migrant, right? So it's being built upon migration. And so many good things about that is a reflection of, you know, what it is now. So that was really interesting for me. It's like everybody is coming from somewhere.
Yeah.
And we're now just one nation, right? And that was very, very special.
Wow, that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned that you have been working with refugee youth. So maybe tell us, how did you come to work with refugees in US, being migrant yourself?
Well, I don't know. It was the circumstances and my personal circumstances. But at the beginning, I think I wanted to do something like, I studied international relations, and then I wanted to do like type of policy and gender and things like that. But then, my first professional experience in the U.S. was first I was a volunteer at the Catholic Charities, mm-hmm. and they work with migrants, and especially I was working with the legal office, mm-hmm. you know, so just like you, yeah. Lawyers who helped, you know, asylum seekers and all that. So I learned so much, and then I was able to, you know, my first pay job was with them, and it was teaching basic English, the numbers,
really,
to things like that, to migrants or refugees and people from Africa, from Latin America, and you know, it felt like I belong, like mm-hmm. it felt like there is something I can give back, and make. If I could make something easier for somebody that is in the same situation I was a few years ago, maybe my mom or something.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, Paula, and let's back a little bit to your life here in Bratislava. Mm-hmm. If you mm-hmm. compare emigrating here, coming here to Bratislava, to coming to other countries in which you have been previously, where are the differences? What's different with coming to live in Slovakia, Bratislava, in special, comparing to coming to Washington or okay. where you have been in US?
Yeah. Well, there's so many different things about...
I thought so.
Yeah, so many. One of them is like, maybe in other countries I'm not that noticeable. Uh-huh. Like people don't really notice me. Mm-hmm. But here, like, I'm not saying that it's a bad thing or anything. It's just, you're different, right? You look different. So it could be, it's not negative at all. I'm not saying that, but you feel it.
Uh-huh. You feel it at the streets, right? That people notice you.
Yeah. Mm. And then the other thing that, in my case, has been a big difference is that there's always somebody willing to help you mm-hmm. or here.
Really?
Yeah, that's how I feel. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that that's going to happen to everybody who come here, but, you know, Slovaks really go beyond. And it's a really genuine gesture. It's not mm-hmm. like they're gaining anything. If they want to help you, they will help you. If they don't, they won't. Mm-hmm. Really. They don't want to. They don't bother.
But I guess Slovaks listening to us now would be really happy.
No, it's true. It's a very especially if you're coming from a place where I'm coming from, Latin America or the US, where, you know, people are polite, but you don't know if they're really happy or not, mm-hmm. but here you can tell. And I already mentioned the language. People will accommodate you. People speak English here. It's been easier because even though this is a small city, it's the capital of Slovakia, mm-hmm. right? So whatever you need, you're going to find it here. And it's going uh-huh. to be easier to find because it's a small city. So it's been to navigate mm-hmm. the system here has been challenging because of the language. Mm-hmm. Because in some specific places, just as an example, like to go to the post office or ticket to get train tickets, whatever.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard, but I'm not blaming anybody or anything. I should be able sure. to communicate the basic things, but sometimes there's that lack of understanding. But again, this city is so easy to navigate. Mm-hmm. Maybe more easier than other places.
Great to listen to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are your favorite places here in Bratislava?
Oh my God. In terms of food, uh-huh. again, I really like food. Mm-hmm. And I enjoy, obviously, I'm almost Mexican, so I really enjoy going to Los Mexicas. If anyone who's listening, I really highly recommend that place. You're going to really taste Mexico. Oh. That's one place. I really like Bamboo. Mm-hmm. The Vietnamese restaurant is really good. Vespa is really good.
The coffee place.
The coffee place Vespa is good because the prices are amazing and they're so friendly. Mm-hmm. What else? I don't know. There are so many good places.
Where do you go to spend your free time?
My free time? I go to the gym. Yeah, I highly recommend, and I don't know if I can say it, but since I already mentioned restaurants, I would say that the Golem Golem Gym is cool. I like it. People are really nice there, and they have a really cool class. Don't start me on gym talk. I really like it. Yeah, I spend my time there.
Yeah, and do you know also some other towns in Slovakia or cities?
I love Modra.
Modra, really?
Modra. I love Modra because the food is good.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes.
Did you taste the wine there?
Yes, wine, food is amazing. And my favorite place out of Bratislava is Košice.
Košice, yes.
Yeah, we have the best time ever. I really enjoy that.
So definitely everyone who comes from outside of Slovakia should visit Bratislava, Modra and Košice.
Yeah, and try to take the train because these train trips are fantastic. And the food in the train is good.
That's really great to listen, to hear it from somebody because there are many complaints from Slovaks.
Sorry.
So it's good to get this perspective, actually, really.
I have low expectations. Anything makes me happy, really. So don't.
Mm-hmm. Paola, and you are also working for us as a cultural mediator.
Yes.
First, when you heard this job title, you were laughing. So probably you can explain to people who are listening to us, what is it and what is your task?
Well, I have so many tasks. But it looks fancier than it is, but I like the title. I think it's fancy. You know, you mediate culture. It's beautiful. Mm. But what I do really is community outreach. Yep. So what I'm trying to do is helping and facilitating like community, gatherings or community, know, specifically with foreigners who are living in the city and trying to reach in out. We have, I would say it's helpful, but I don't know because it's coming from me. I'm biased. But, we have this series of roundtables. Mm-hmm. The first one was about voting. Yeah.
Voting rights or foreigners?
Voting rights locally, which so many foreigners were entitled to.
Yeah. And they didn't know about it, right?
And so many didn't know about it. So it was very educational. And then we have the second one, which was about integration.
Yep.
And we have a good turnout. I mean, what we're talking right now is, how to integrate to a city, how to become part of, your community. You can start working, language, all this we touch upon that day. And the upcoming roundtable is going to be about hate crime and hate speech. Yes.
Difficult topic, but
it's a difficult topic, but I think people should be talking about these things just in case, nothing, not everything is just beautiful, but you need to be prepared for this. And to be honest with you, all the time when we do these events, we ask people what they like.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like us coming and saying, okay, you need to hear about hate crime or whatever. We have like options, and then people take surveys and they vote, right? What is the topic that they like the most? So everybody's welcomed. It's going to be on March 28 at 6:30, which I'm still having problems saying it in. It's 18:30?
Yeah, yes. It's 18:30 in European measures.
Sorry,
time
guys.
Measures.
Yeah, I made a flyer the other day. It says 16:30, but I'm sorry. Yeah, and you're welcome to come. It's going to be at Vaštová.
Yeah, in our premises, in Open Gallery.
The Open Gallery. So please come. It doesn't have to be necessarily depressing. It could, you know, really.
It will be serious. But
it will be serious.
It will be
about
advices.
Really, yeah, the guests are going to be
The special police who deals with hate crimes and probably the city police.
Yeah, so it's a great opportunity to voice your concerns, or, you know, if you have questions, if you want to learn something more, what are your rights?
Yeah.
You know, and that's a
definitely
priority.
Definitely encourage the foreigners to come, certainly.
So again, that's what I do as a cultural mediator. I I just facilitate a space. I try to engage with other people like me who are foreigners living in Bratislava.
Yeah, and tell me, like, from your professional but also personal experience, what do you think it's really important for foreigners who are coming to Bratislava to really feel welcomed? What is the need?
First of all, I think that you need to be open, that things could be different. Try to be patient. You are going to feel welcome, because once you have a Slovak friend, that friend is going to be there for you, you know. So please be patient with yourself, with everybody else. And things will fall into place.
And what should we do, Slovaks, for foreigners to feel welcome here?
Yeah. So one of the things, it's not, you know, I don't know. This is a really important question, and I think we should make a survey. No, but in general, I think you guys are already doing things for us, like being welcoming. I mean, you're speaking English, a language that many people understand, and that is nice. But in some levels, there are still things that could be easier, like, you know, having a clear point to, okay, so I recently arrived to Bratislava, and what are the things that I need to do ASAP. Mm-hmm. Like, if I need to register my kid in school, if I need to, whatever I need to do, having a checklist.
When can I vote?
Where can I vote? Exactly. Yeah. Basic information that people are really in the darkness. Like, we don't know. And sometimes we go, you know, to an office, and we're supposed to be doing X, you know, transaction or whatever. One person says one thing and the other person said other thing. There's no clear
instruction
guidance on thing, especially if you don't speak the language. That's really difficult. So it's not that make it easier, guys, because again, it's not your obligation, but as a Slovak in general, it's not, you're not supposed to do that, but there are so many people here that are coming to the country, and they're going through all, you know, they're here with like legal papers and everything. Mm. They've been through a process, you know, and I think they deserved a little more than what is given in that term.
Certainly some clear information about
clear
what
information.
To do and where to go.
Yeah, or a website that says, okay, here you go. Boom.
Yeah, I think that you also researched a lot about this welcoming packages and integration efforts throughout your job, right?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And hopefully it's going to be available soon. And you the basic aspects of integration are finding a job, be financially, you know, independent, and the language the language barrier is really important, which in this case in Bratislava is not that much because, again, so many people speak English. And then medical assistance, medical education, job, and all these things are important. So our guide is going to cover those topics, mm-hmm. hopefully. And to be honest, you can find those things scattered mm-hmm. in different places. So hopefully it's going to be in one place eventually. Be patient.
Cool. Thank you, Paola. And if I ask you about Bratislava, would you think that Bratislava is a diverse city or is it becoming diverse or not?
I think is becoming or is already a really open-minded city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are very tolerant in that way. Maybe not physically.
Mm-hmm.
You won't find numbers and numbers of people who are coming from other, you know, places mm-hmm. and countries. But in terms of diversity, there are people who think differently.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, part of being diverse. And it's becoming, to be honest, because of this, it is so nice. And maybe some of people haven't heard about it. Probably in the future, you're going to have more people from other countries mm-hmm. coming here. So it's going to be even more than what it is now. But what I like about this city and why I consider it diverse is that it's pretty open to new things.
Mm-hmm.
So in that regard, I definitely think it's a diverse city.
So foreigners who are coming to Bratislava do not need to be afraid that they would be bored here or wouldn't find things to like.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. No. There's so many ways to keep yourself entertained. You have really one of the best concerts I ever been to has been at the Philharmonic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. No. If you like art,
amazing.
Mm-hmm. You know, theater, music, whatever, you can find so many things here. So affordable. Food is everywhere, is really affordable too, and I don't know, I think you're going to have a great time in Bratislava.
Great, Paola, thank you. Mm-hmm. Really should be advertising life in Bratislava.
You should pay for that. Yeah.
And I have a couple of last questions to you, and now jumping maybe from your life as a foreigner here in Bratislava to more to questions that are dealing more with the world, what's going mm-hmm. on in the world, because having luck that you are coming from Latin America and currently there is so much talk around about what's going on in Venezuela mm-hmm. and about mm-hmm. the fans from on the US border and immigration from Latin America to US. So I would like to ask you about your point of view. You have been migrant multiple times. We talked at the beginning about how your personal family has been affected by migration.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about the situation now when we talk about the refugees from Latin America? Why is this happening and what is the solution?
Personally, I think that there is a really, I would say that the majority of the responsibility comes down to the country's governments.
Mm.
You know, they're not taking the responsibility seriously. And they're the ones at fault. Definitely, I think they should, they're the ones who need to provide well-being for their citizens in the first place, right? And then people are taking, what I don't like is that people take migrants or refugees, they make it political,
mm-hmm.
and that really, it bothers me because so many people, what they want is to survive and to be able to provide for their families. So in the case of Venezuela, you know, you have many people, polarized thinking, oh, you know, like
they shouldn't be intervention, or they shouldn't be doing that, or Colombia shouldn't be that, or the U.S., blah, 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 blah. But at the end, is the country that is now becoming... There is a refugee crisis right now in Venezuela, and that's the reality. And so many people from Venezuela are going to other countries like Peru and Colombia. And then what they're going to do, hopefully not, but what happens is that these other countries and these other governments, at the end, they're going to use the migrant situation to make it political and to have a scapegoat or... You know, so that's bad.
And kind of an experience with this here in Europe as well.
Yeah, exactly. They're easy target because at this point they're people in need. You know, they not in need that they we need to save them. No, people are capable of they can succeed without your help. They just need an opportunity to start all over again. And they will do it. And you will do it. You as an European, if something happens here tomorrow, if you're given the opportunity to go somewhere, that happens in the U.S. actually.
Sure.
Mm. Yeah. When things were bad here in Europe, so many Europeans travel to other and they have to make homes in other regions, right? They survive. This is... It's the human nature to survive and you know, to make something good out of, you know, pain. So I definitely, whoever's listening, please don't follow in the trap of, you know, blaming, you know, or blaming the migrants. Because they're having a hard time. They're really, what they want is being able to survive and being able to have a decent life like everybody is entitled of. It's a human right to
very
succeed.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Paola.
Yes.
It has been really amazing to talk to you. And I'm really, really grateful that you came to the studio. Today we have been talking to Paola, who is a migrant herself, multiple migrant. She has been living in Bratislava for almost 1.5 years. And this was our podcast series, Migration Compass, today about the life of a foreigner in Bratislava. And I am Zuzana Števulová, and we will be listening and hearing to each other in our next series. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Podcast Migračný kompas je spolufinancovaný nenávratným finančným príspevkom z prostriedkov operačného programu Efektívna verejná správa z Európskeho sociálneho fondu. Podcast Migračný kompas je realizovaný Ligou za ľudské práva a viac o tomto projekte nájdete na jej web stránke www.hrl.sk.